This is the Green Zone. Jamie Locker. I am Locker. A Nihilist show once again. Blue Jays just wrapped up. They did break that hits record, so they have a new franchise record over a three-game series, 63 hits. I'll take a look and find out what the previous record was, but I think they just absolutely crushed it. If you missed it, I just saw Jamie Campbell throw the broom, so there was another sweep, and the final was 20-1. Scotty, the producer, and I were following the game, and he went in my ear and said, "Hey, every time I look at the screen, it's a new score." It's absolutely crazy game, beautiful game. So the Jays continue to roll, and they continue to dominate the AL East. Canada's World Junior team. World Juniors, of course, December every year, has a new head coach.
For the third time in franchise history, the Knights are Memorial Cup champions.
On the Green Zone right now, we're joined by Dale Hunter, former NHLer, of course, current co-owner, president, and head coach of the London Knights in the CHL, just won the Memorial Cup, and recently became the head coach for Canada's national junior team. Before we get going, a quick congrats on the Memorial Cup. And on behalf of World Junior fans, thank you for coming back.
No, thanks a lot. No, it's a good challenge to coach the World Juniors. It's a privilege.
Have you had a chance to enjoy your summer at all, Dale? Just
No, it's been, you know, it's a good thing when you play into June, you know, so that's a good thing. And then we just got done camp in Minnesota, so it's been busy. And another 3 weeks, we start the Junior A up again. So,
wow.
So it should be good.
You've got a couple of things on your plate. What was the first reaction to the offer to take over Canada's national junior team again?
Well, I was great. Like, for me and my brother, you know, it's like it was a challenge in 2020, and we ended up with the gold. But it's a lot of work. They've got good teams, and you know, it's like it's a challenge, and it's, you represent your country. It's a privilege to do that, and try to get it done right.
Dale, I'm curious about what you've been doing with respect to the new role with Hockey Canada. Have you been taking in the showcase, the selection camps? Obviously, you have, but I'm just curious about what your schedule has been like and what you have planned for the rest of the summer regarding your role as the head coach of the World Junior team.
Well, as soon as we watched the tapes on the kids. Like, we know the Ontario kids, but we don't know the West kids and the Quebec kids. And we've been watching a lot of games and them all playing. And then we had the showcase tournament in Minnesota, and we got to play the Finns and the Swedes and U.S., and we had some practice time. So it's just the start of what kind of style we're going to play.
When you're at an event like that, what are you looking for? Like, what are you initially kind of, how are you approaching the development side of it? And I mean, a lot of these kids that are there are probably going to end up on the team.
There's quite a few, you know, with the older kids that played last year, like I think there were seven of them. They only played one game, and then we let them out. Then we let them go home so we can take a look at the younger kids and make sure that, try to get the right ones. It's just the first viewing. You got to be careful because it's summer and, you know, everybody's at different levels of training. So we got to be careful about that. But it starts the procedure of which kids, and we don't want to make a mistake. Make sure we take the right kids.
Is this going to be a younger squad this year, do you think?
Yeah, you know, right now you don't know for sure because of who returns from the National Hockey League. We got some players that are 19 years old and 18, and they might make the National Hockey League. And if they're doing really well up there, you know, maybe they wouldn't return them to us. So it's like, it's not us. It's other teams, too, that have the U.S.
Yeah.
And Swedes. So they got the same issue that you don't know for sure. So it's like one of those things you got to wait to see how it develops through the fall. So
Dale Hunter joining us here on the Green Zone, the head coach of Canada's national junior team. I know it's early, so a lot of things can happen, but there's going to be a lot of eyes on the Islanders' number one draft pick, Matthew Schaefer. I would love, just personally, just based on what I saw at the beginning of the tournament this year, and then he broke his collarbone, I'd love to see him back. What are your thoughts about Matthew Schaefer and where he's at right now? Because he was just cleared to play, if I'm not mistaken, in May to skate again.
Yeah, he was. He was at the showcase game, but he was there last year, so only played, he practiced with us two or three times. Plus, he played the one game, and you know something, though? He looked good. He's fast, and that's why he's a heady D, and he's fast, and he's got size. So, you know, it's one of those things, the Islanders, you know, if he deserves to be there, and it'll take time to figure all this out. He's an elite player, so it was fun to watch him last year at Christmas time there in the tourney. He was elite, and he can really skate and lug the puck. So,
Dale,
take him with open arms, but if he doesn't come, that's good for the kid because he's in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, that's a good point. There will be a lot of eyes on Gavin McKenna this year. What do you like about Gavin's game?
Oh, he's one of these elite players. He's skilled and he cares about winning. He played against him. I seen him live playing against him with Medicine Hat in the Memorial Cup. And he's elite. He can skate. He's got a brain. And you know, he knows how to run a power play. So that's why he put all them points up and his team won. He was the big part of it. And we've seen him play a little bit here. You watch him again. You know why he's ranked to be number one next year so far. And so, he'll be fun to coach.
Dale, I know you don't want to highlight one or two players, but based on the talent that you're dealing with, I mean, you got the best hockey players in Canada that are trying for spots on your team for this next tournament. But is there anybody else that you think that hockey fans might be interested in seeing or paying attention to for this upcoming tournament?
Yeah, we got good returning players. Like we got the Canton kid from out west. Yeah, I think he plays in Spokane. He's really skilled, really good. He played last year. He played really well in the tournament. Really good player. Like you got the Schaefer. You got the Dickinson that plays for us Knights. He's elite. They're elite players. That's why all of them, they could be in the National Hockey League because they're elite. Like players like that. We got the second overall pick and Misa, and he's a
yeah.
You know what I mean? Though it's like we don't know what's happening. So it's like I don't get too excited unless they an opening day we play that first game on the 26th. Like, oh, there's them guys. So I don't get too excited until they're playing for it. In the meantime, We're really looking at the young guys to make sure we get the right ones that can help us win.
Without playing the blame game, Dale, or pointing fingers, what went wrong the last couple of years for Canada's squad, in your opinion?
Well, I don't know. You know, they were close games. They could have scored. We didn't score enough, basically. You know, teams played tight and we didn't give up much either, you know, but we didn't score. You know, our penalty kill wasn't good, and our PK had to be better, and our power play, because it's tough. All these teams are playing for the country. They're blocking shots like unbelievable. So we got to score more goals, plus defend. We defended fine. We just didn't score enough.
I want to make sure that I bring up a local kid that a lot of us have been paying attention to, and somebody that I know is on your radar. I don't know if you got to see him much, but he's 15, and if I'm not mistaken, he was the youngest kid at the U-17 development camp in late July. So have you heard of Maddox Schultz, and any thoughts on him, at least even stuff that's come your way about this kid?
Well, being out with a lot of Hockey Canada guys that are kind of overlapping both and both tournaments, the Alinka tournament too, and he's been in the under 17, and I have never seen him play, but all I can say is they talk very, very high of him, that we got to. Now we always say special player coming through, and that's the big thing. And we got to keep Canada just not winning World Juniors, the Olympics and stuff. So yeah, it's nice to hear another great player is coming through.
Curious for a kid like that, like 15 years of age, what's his path with Hockey Canada?
Well, he'll do the path. If you know, we had players that, you know, bump up quicker at a younger age, and like last year, Bedard, you know, he played young, you know, and it's credit to him because he was one of the top two lines. He was the main factor. So it's unique, and it doesn't happen very often when you have great players that at a young age are already ready to go.
All right, Dale, here's the big one. How do we beat the U.S. and St. Paul, Minneapolis, Minnesota in the next World Junior Championship?
Oh, he's the Ecky old saying, score one more than them.
Well, yeah. Listen, I really appreciate your time. And again, I meant it off the top of the interview, Dale. We are excited to have you back. And I don't know, there's just – when I saw your name, I just was like, okay, as a fan of that tournament, it's good to see that we got another Hunter back there behind the bench for these kids. So, and I really appreciate your time today, my friend.
Oh, thanks a lot. We'll see you.
Interesting developments in the NFL. By the way, huge thanks to Dale Hunter for his chat today. They have banned smelling salts. I was talking to Daryl Davis about this. So he's already weighed in on this. Up next on the Green Zone, a player in the NFL that is not happy about this at all. All right? That's next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. This is the Green Zone, Jamie and Locker. Again, Jamie took the week off. Takes the bye weeks off when the Riders are taking breaks in the summer. He's a very busy boy when the Riders are playing in a given week. If you missed it, the NFL has banned smelling salts. This is something you see occasionally. I think I've seen it more, if I'm being honest, in hockey than I have in football. When we were chatting with Daryl, I was mentioning to him, I said, do you see it much? You see it on the sidelines? I don't see it a lot. It's aggressive. I don't know if you've ever done this or had an opportunity to try it yourself, but when I did it, I was like, I don't think I need to do that again. And there's one particular football player in the NFL that is not happy about this ban.
George, hello, friend. How are you?
I honestly just came up here to air a grievance.
Oh.
Our team had a memo today that smelling salts and ammonia packets were made illegal in the NFL.
Wow.
And I've been distraught all day.
Okay. Illegal?
He even said he's not practicing anymore.
I considered retirement.
Yeah. So they wow. Go ahead and bring that back for George Kittle.
We got to figure Mr. out Goodell. Middle ground here, guys. Somebody help me out. Somebody come up with a good idea.
We'll send
Fred,
the email.
On you.
Airing of grievance.
Yeah, that's all I had to get out there. I'll get that off.
Is it before every drive is a
I'm an every driver. I'm an every driver.
I've seen
every
guys
down.
Like that.
I'm an every driver.
In between every play,
he pulls out
the sock.
Way too much.
Yeah. Well, it feels like the energy's still out here, though.
I mean, definitely, yeah. But I miss those already.
Well, they haven't been outlawed at practice.
No, we don't have them out practice.
Okay, all right, just check.
That's bizarre to me. So every drive, just wrap your head around that. So he's doing it multiple times. I wonder how much of that, because he interrupted a live broadcast. I wonder how much of that is just him showboating. Because, my goodness, if he's able to do that multiple times during a game, and maybe you get used to it like anything, but my goodness. If you have a thought on that as to whether or not you think that's a good idea, the NFL is banning it because it does mask symptoms of concussions. So they're eliminating it from the game. And I have a feeling, and again, Daryl didn't know anything. He wasn't able to pinpoint anything from the rules in the CFL. And I sent a note to Dave Naylor, who we were trying to get on for tomorrow. I think we're going to have him on. He hasn't gotten back to me on whether or not there's any specific rules revolving around smelling salts in the CFL, but I have a feeling that this is going to be something that the CFL and other organizations under professional sporting organizations probably end up banning down the road. Anyway, your thoughts on that. And I also want your thoughts, and we're going to keep track of the texts and messages that we get that come in. Also, you can call the show as well. What's the next benchmark for the Saskatchewan Roughriders? Are you the guy that needs them to beat the big, bad Blue Bombers? Or are you more in the camp where I am, where, listen, I think we have a legit, I already think we have a legit team on our hands, but I think we have a serious contender for the Grey Cup if they can beat the Hamilton Ticats when they return from the bye week. I want your thoughts on that. The Green Zone Fan Line, 877-332-8255. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. This is the Green Zone. Jamie and Locker. Jamie's off this week. I am doing the solo thing. My name is Locker. You can always call or text the program, 877-332-8255. We were talking about smelling salts, which is odd, but it's been banned by the NFL. George Kittle, who we just heard from, is not happy about the decision. And I got this note. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't get the name on the text. I'll go back. I think it's Ken. It is Ken. Thank you, Ken, for the note. And I didn't know this. You learn something new every day. Ken is asking if they're going to ban Buckley's cough syrup because it's full of ammonia. And I did double check that because I didn't know, but it makes sense. It is the active ingredient in, listen, I don't know a lot about it, but it looks like there's quite like 153 milligrams per 5 millimeter teaspoon. Someone should let George Kittle know. You can slam a little Buckley's cough syrup instead of the smelling salt packs. What I want to focus on today with our fan free-for-all, and again, the phone line, 877-332-8255, is a question that was presented to us yesterday when we were talking about the Riders from Ken. I'll play the call.
I would like to temper all this excitement. I took a look and I realized we have no wins against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Now, that's not our fault. We haven't played them yet. But I think the back-to-back, you know, the Labor Day Classic and the Banjo Bowl, that is going to be so huge this year. Winnipeg can sweep us, and then we're sitting there with a really nice record and knowing that the bullies are still in our way.
So a 7-1 record right now. And Ken is considering the success of this team, basing it on beating the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, who don't have the same team they've had over the last 5 years, if we're being honest. I mean, it's a long season. They could bounce back, but he's got a point. And there are quite a few people from Riders Nation probably agreeing with him. 877-332-8255, if you want to call, if you got a thought on this. What's the next benchmark in your mind for the Riders? Is it a win against the Blue Bombers? Or two, August 31st, September 6th, Labor Day Classic, just announced, sellout? Or are you more in my camp? I'd like to see them beat the Hamilton Ticats. I'm going to be watching that Lions-Ticats game tomorrow to see how the Lions play them. And I'm guessing that the Riders camp is going to be focusing quite intently on that matchup as well. And then August 16th, on the return from the bye week, we've got the Ticats in town. I think that's the next benchmark. I'm already on board. I'm already fully on the bandwagon. And maybe you're just sort of hanging on or running behind and you're waiting for something more. What is it? That's the question today. And again, 877-332-8255. We've got some texts on this one. The next two benchmarks are they need to beat up on Hamilton and Winnipeg and destroy a healthy VA out of Calgary. That's from Steve. Steve's clearly a tough fan because his benchmark is not just the two things, but also beating Calgary, who, by the way, represent our one and only loss this season. The Riders, it is simple for the Riders. Just go 1-0 every week. Prepare for them all. Don't worry about who your opponent is, or you might be in trouble. Prepare for the same, regardless of who's coming to town or where you're going. That's Bruce and Regina. That's an interesting point, because if we're being honest, that's how the rest of the team probably is dealing with it. The team, the management, the coaching staff. All right. James, what's the benchmark for you?
Well, I'm a Bombers fan, so I'm going to tell you bluntly that the benchmark is still the Bombers.
Still the Bombers.
As long as Soldros is playing.
Okay. All right. All right. We don't know for sure whether or not he's back in the lineup for tomorrow.
That's correct.
Yeah. But he did take some reps, like more so than he did last week. So that'll definitely favor the Bombers' return. Do you think the Blue Bombers can come back from what has been a questionable performance this season?
If everybody is healthy, Willie Jefferson had one heck of a game the other night. And if all these guys can step up, they have as good a team as anybody in the league. And the Bombers will step up at Labor Day. They will step up at the Banjo Bowl. They get up for those games.
Yeah.
Same way the Riders do.
Yeah.
So that's your benchmark. If you lose to the Bombers back-to-back, then you're an average team again. If you split them, okay, you might still be considered a little bit better. If you lose them both, then you're nobody.
James, I really appreciate the call. Thank you for your time today, my friend. All right, there we go. So James is on the – obviously, he's a Bombers fan, but you know what? He made some really good points. Dave, what say you on the next benchmark for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders?
Yeah, well, two quick things. I think I agree with James in a sense, but I think that I'm kind of on the bandwagon with you. I think it all comes down to how they play against Hamilton next week.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if they beat Hamilton and they split the games with Winnipeg, and I know Belton talked about this too, I think that it really will come to show that the Riders can probably make the Grey Cup. And I just want to mention on top of that I think the game tomorrow between BC and the Tiger Cats is going to be a really interesting game to watch.
I agree with you, especially if Nathan Rourke, well, they're coming off of a bye week, right? So this is the first game back for the BC Lions. And when we chatted with JC Abbott from Three Down Nation about this, and about the fact that this is a team that, you know, they've been starting to get their legs underneath of them. They're starting to show some improvement. Nathan Rourke is figuring out the Buck Pierce offense, right? And you got a team that is prepared three straight weeks for the same team.
Yeah, exactly.
So you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. And then you got Hamilton coming off a short week. So tomorrow is going to be, I think tomorrow is the more interesting game of week 10, the Thursday nighter, in my very humble opinion.
Agreed.
All right, Dave, I appreciate your phone call today. Thanks, my friend. Take care. All right. Now we'll check in with Terry. Terry, what's the next benchmark for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders?
Hey, Walker. Well, first off, I just wanted to query you or put it out there. Has anybody ever quantified how the Riders compare injury-wise to the rest of the CFL and then next man up? Because they've been basically seamless. You know, like they've lost key players, key positions, no difference. Like they're still kicking butt. And as far as my benchmark, I'm pretty much on the same page as Darrell Davis. Like, I'd be happy with 3-2, but I prefer 4-1. And, like, let's face it, they stole that game in Hamilton.
Yeah.
So if they can win or, like, put the boot on their throat, things are looking pretty shiny in Riderland.
That would be an interesting sort of exercise, Terry, to look and take a look at who's had what injuries through the course of the season so far and who has the best record with their starters versus their backup, right? I do think, without doing the work, I have a feeling that the Riders might be coming out on top, not just because of the 7-1 record, but because I think, comparatively speaking, and I could be wrong, but I think the Riders have at least the top out of the, I think they've had probably they're one of the teams with the most injuries. Are they not, Terry?
Well, that's what I'm doing. And in that key position.
Yes. Yeah. So you got a really good point. I mean, and that has been something that has been talked about quite a bit about this Riders team as a whole is that they have the depth. I mean, the thing that's impressing me, last year it was the O-line, right? They seem to be on a weekly basis. They seem to be replacing a significant member of the offensive line. And then this year it seems to be the receivers have taken up that mantle this year on the injury front. And everybody they put in, we're having the same conversation. How do you take that guy out based on how he's playing? That was a similar conversation last year with the O-line. This guy gets in there, he steps up, and we're looking at that is this a full-time member of this squad? But what if so-and-so comes back? Are we going to put him in? Like, that's exactly what's happening right now with the receivers here.
There's some interesting conversations going on in the background.
All right. Well, I appreciate your call today on the Benchmark today. Thank you, Terry.
Yep.
Later. Terry out of Buffalo Pound. I did get a tweet from Chris, and he used a wrestling analogy. To beat the man, you got to beat the man. And the man, regardless of where they are at this year, is still the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. So Chris makes an interesting point, and he's suggesting that the Benchmark is the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And you know what? It has come up a couple of times, not just on text, but also over the calls today on the Green Zone here with this conversation, that this team, definitely the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, when they're playing the Riders, quite often they show up regardless of what they've been going through. And the Riders do the same thing. They show up for those two games in September every year, the Labor Day Classic and the Banjo Bowl. So maybe it is. Maybe the Benchmark is the Winnipeg Blue Bombers this year. Anyway, I want your thoughts on this. We'll continue to take your calls. The Green Zone fan line, 877-332-8255. Again, what's the next benchmark in your mind for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders? Is it a win against the Blue Bombers? Is it a win against the Ticats? Or is it something completely different? This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. This is the Green Zone. Jamie and Locker. I am Locker. I am by myself. By the way, thank you for all the calls and texts that we get during these fan free-for-alls. Green Zone fan line is always open, 877-332-8255. I love the phone calls, by the way. Texts are great. I understand a lot of you are busy and you might not be able to pick up the phone and call, but if you can, I appreciate it. And if you can't, a text is awesome. Kirk sent this in earlier on our discussion about what's the next benchmark for the Riders, a win against the Blue Bombers at the end of the month or a win against the Hamilton Ticats after the bye week. He said, we must make it 10 wins before 3 losses to be the real deal. That's interesting. And a sweep of Winnipeg. Ideally, wins like last week. Oh, so he's looking at the dominant win. Okay, Kirk, that's fair. 10 versus 3. 7-1 right now. I think it's doable. The one concern I did see come in a couple of times was, too, that there is a slight concern about the Riders returning from a bye week and not playing well. And obviously, we have some proof this season of that. This came in from Kelly. Need to play tough football for all 4 quarters. They play brutal the last quarter after the bye, or the game after the bye as well. So Kelly is one of the texters that's been commenting on the bye and the struggle that the team has coming back. Maybe a bit of a rough start after the bye as well, which is what I noticed after the last bye week. All right. And again, if you want to call the Green Zone fan line, 877-332-8255. We're talking about that next benchmark. Michael from Saskatoon, what's your next benchmark?
I'm sort of like what Daryl Davis said earlier when you had him on. If the next 4 games, if the Riders can go 2-2, 3-1, I think that like this next few games it's going to be tough. But like I said, if they can go 2-2, 3-1, they're doing pretty good.
So you're okay with 500 ball for the next 4 games?
Yes.
That's interesting. All right, let's just take a look here. So they got the Ticats on the 16th, that's an afternoon game. That should be a sellout, no?
That's going to be Michael, a great game.
Yeah, I am
that's
really.
That's going to be a great game, and
I'm really looking
forward. I feel like Bo is sort of what like Henry Burris was to Saskatchewan 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah,
he's not well liked in Regina.
And then the Rough Riders are going to be in Calgary taking on the Stampeders on August 23rd. And again, that came up from Steve earlier. He was texting. He wants to see this team beat a healthy Stampeders squad. And then we got the Bombers, obviously, for the Labor Day Classic on August 31st. By the way, that was announced today that that's sold out. And then we're in Winnipeg for the Banjo Bowl on September 6th. So you're okay if we... So maybe we get a win over the Ticats, lose to the Stampeders, or vice versa, and then we split the Labor Day Classic and the Banjo Bowl, and you're still thinking this is a legit Grey Cup-bound team.
Absolutely, because you look at all the injuries we've had this year, and like you said earlier, it's next man up, and everyone's doing what they need to do.
Michael, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much, my friend.
No worries. Take care.
Take care. All right. Again, we're still having this conversation. About the next benchmark, right? What's the next benchmark for this squad? Is it a win against the Blue Bombers at the end of the month? Or two wins? Or is it a win against the Ticats after the bye week? 877-332-8255 is the number. And like I said, the fan line is always open. And again, I love doing the phone calls, so if you want to give us a shout, I much appreciate that. And the fan free for all is also a text thing as well. Game of the night. We got playoffs. And we got the Saskatoon Berries and the Moose Jaw team in the WCBL. And Medicine Hat and Regina is also up. And it's a bye week for the Riders, but Daryl Davis is still kicking around. So we'll chat with him about the next benchmark for the Riders. A double take with Daryl Davis up next on the Green Zone, 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.